Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, February 17, 2020. A top SPLM-IO member says more needs to be done for a unity government to be formed.
The issue of security arrangements so that we have a unified force of 83,000 by the end of the 6 months. Nothing happened. And now we are now into the extension of the 100 days and we have not achieved anything.
And forces for the protection of senior government officials commence training.
The government troops have been here for quite some time waiting for those of the opposition to come. And now that they are in equal numbers, the training is going to start.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The deputy chairman of the SPLM-IO rebels says his group will not be part of the long-awaited unity government if the unified forces are not ready for deployment across South Sudan. Henry Odwor says the forces will not be ready by the February 22nd deadline for many reasons.
It is only 6 days away from now where the government says that they're going to form a government of national unity. We are saying no, we are not going to be part of that if the unified force is not yet ready to come and take its position either in the populated centers, including Juba, so that we form government. But if now the government is on a rush to form government, we definitely will be out of it.
Who should be held responsible if there is no peace in this country?
John, it is clear. It is very, very clear who should be held responsible. Right from when we signed the agreement in September of last year, the government was supposed to fund the peace process. The international community clearly stated they will never put a dime in the peace process. And so, with our oil flowing every day and having increased to almost 180,000 barrels per day, we should have had the funds to make sure that the agreement should have been implemented within the first 8 months of the pre-transitional period. But the government made sure they did not avail funds. We extended the pre-transitional period for another 6 months. This also, we never realized what was supposed to be done there. Pre-transitional period, basically of which the two provisions are very paramount. One, the issue of security arrangements so that we have a unified force of 83,000 by the end of the 6 months. Nothing happened. And now we are now into the extension of the 100 days, of which we are now left with is only 6 days, and we have not achieved anything. So who is this? The government did not put the funds, so the fingers should be pointed to the government.
The regular South Sudanese would also say you have been changing goalposts. That is the IO. You have been changing goalposts from day one. Now you are saying you will not be part of this government. In the beginning, you said if all the issues are agreed upon, you will be part of the government. Now you're saying you will not be part of the government. It's taking people back to square one.
Well, this is basically, John, to ensure that we go as one people in South Sudan. Now, if we go for the 32 states, the people in Fashoda, you know, the Cholo, they will not agree with us because their land has been grabbed, their land has been, you know, the demarcation, the gerrymandering of lines takes the land of the Cholo away from them. The Maban and the people of Raja, these people will not be part of any government. So should we allow a government to be formed without these components of South Sudan? The big answer is no. And this is what we are adhering to, that if we want peace in South Sudan, all must make sure that, you know, everybody have what they want. And so if the Cholo cannot have their land back, if the Maban cannot, you know, be part of what they want at the real. And if the Raja people are going to be taken into this so-called lull state, No. We are with the people, Tanza. We are with the people.
And the international community is getting tired of all these blame games and changing of goalposts. It appears like this time around, some people will be held accountable, individuals within these parties. They will be held accountable. How do you react to that?
Yes, that is true. If the extension of the goalpost was done by anybody, it is basically by Kiir and the people surrounding him. It is not because we are the ones also participating in the, shifting the goalposts. No. And the international community should really make sure that, they discipline the country, and especially those who are holding the country hostage from having peace.
That's Henry Oduor, Deputy Chairman of the SPLM-IO Rebels, speaking with me on Friday from Rome. Peace monitors in South Sudan say a 3,000-strong VIP protection force is ready to be deployed in Juba as the deadline nears to the formation of a transitional government. Military officials say soldiers stationed at the Gorom Center have been trained and are ready for assignments. Major General Bin Mabor is the commander of the new force. He says the VIP protection force is available for deployment. Dimo Silva Aurelio visited the center and has this story for VOA from Juba.
Members of the joint very important persons of VIP Protection Force sing morale-boosting songs during a parade at the Gorom Training Center, some 40 kilometers west of Juba. The center is one of 16 operational training centers set up to train and unify a 83,000-strong unified force composed of military, police, national security service, wildlife and fire brigade forces. 1,500 government soldiers and the same exact number of opposition forces make up the VIP Protection Force per the revitalized peace deal. The soldiers look physically fit and proud to serve their country. Speaking in Arabic, Major General Abdel Monem Jalal, a Gorom Center trainer from Sudan, tells the soldiers there is peace in South Sudan.
Nobody again will kill, nobody will shoot a gun again. You are now a soldier who follows law, and if you cock a gun, let alone shooting, you will be tried in the military court. And so, no more war, not only in South Sudan, but from Wad Halfa to Port Sudan, Juba to Nimule, nobody will shoot a bullet anymore.
Major General Bin Mabor is commander in charge of the VIP Protection Force Training Center and a member of the Joint Technical Security Committee. General Mabor says he has no doubt the newly trained force is ready to do its job.
What we are doing here is reunification, orientation, rehearsal. Why? Because they are already trained soldiers. And a trained soldier need to be rehearsed. That is what we know. They are not here for professional training because they are career soldiers.
Mabor says so far, 29,000 soldiers are part of a unified force at 17 training centers across the country that have finished orientation. He says another 15,000 unified force comprised of police, wildlife, prison, and fire brigade forces are ready to be deployed. Ugandan instructor Major General Paul Okech says the 3,000-strong VIP protection force requires no further training.
If you tell us to deploy them even now, they will go and meet their mission. But the emphasis we are putting to these soldiers is element of love for their country, patriotism. That's what we are emphasizing on this on the unification. And since they have come together, that is what South Sudanese would love to see. That's what the region would love to see.
Agustin Njoroge, head of the Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission, the body monitoring implementation of the peace deal, says the troops will answer to one commander.
Commander-in-chief, today I have found the number here is 3,339, out of which half are from the government, 1,500, and the others, the remainder, are from the opposition. And this is a good sign The government troops have been here for quite some time waiting for those of the opposition to come. And now that they are in equal numbers, the training is going to start.
Njoroge says although the unified force is well on its way, the training process may need more time.
We have analyzed the situation and we find there's no way all the units will be unified before the date. But that is not a big problem. So long as they continue to train and to unify, this can be done even in the transitional period. So long as it's going, because it cannot be completed and it should not delay the formation.
SPLM-IO leader Riek Machar arrived in Juba today. He is expected to meet with President Salva Kiir tomorrow to review security arrangements ahead of the deadline to form a unity government this weekend. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
The chief of the United Nations mission in South Sudan has welcomed President Salva Kiir's decision to return the country to the original 10 states plus 3 administrative areas. David Sierra described the move as an important compromise. He says the parties should form a unity government by February 22nd. Lasuba Memo has more for VOA from Juba.
David Sierra, a special representative to the UN Secretary General to South Sudan, is urging the parties to the peace deal to form a transitional government and work together to make a decision on the right number of states, administrative areas, and boundaries. The army's boss says forming an inclusive transitional government by the agreed-to deadline will inspire greater trust and confidence among citizens that the peace process will succeed.
We urge all parties to reach out and embrace each other's positions so that the peace deal can be fully implemented.
After the president's announcement on Saturday, residents of Rang town in Upper Nile State, an area that borders Sudan staged a protest against Kiir's compromise offer. Sierra called on all those opposing the decision to accept it for the sake of the country.
It may not be the preferred option of some people. However, they should also recognize it has been done in the spirit of compromise to secure durable peace for the whole country.
Sierra says if Kiir's compromise offer is quickly accepted by all parties, including the SPLM-IO, the transitional government can be formed, paving the way for elections in 3 years' time.
This will enable the people of South Sudan to fully participate in the democratic process. It's a right they've been looking forward to exercising since they won their independence 9 years ago.
The army's chief notes that failure by the parties to meet past deadlines to form a unity government caused disillusion among South Sudanese. Ismail Wise, IGAD's special envoy to South Sudan, is praising Kiir's proposal. Wise said in a statement, this is pivotal in the formation of the revitalized transitional government of national unity and our quest for lasting peace for the Republic of South Sudan. He is urging the parties to work together in good faith and a spirit of compromise in the few days remaining before this weekend's deadline. Speaking to reporters in Juba today, SPLM-IO spokesperson Manawa Peter Gatkwoth said he is optimistic that Kiir and SPLM-IO leader Riek Machar will resolve all the outstanding issues soon. For VOA News, I am Lasuba Memo in Juba.
You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, more reactions to President Salva Kiir's decision to return the country to 10 states and 3 administrative areas.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
does hard work really pay off?
If someone digs a hole in the 30 years, of course, she'll be able to get to the goal on the ground. So hard work pays, of course.
To me, in my own opinion, it pays. Because when you work hard, doesn't mean you have targets you want to achieve. So by putting more heart, that means you can achieve a desired target you want to aspire in life.
Lazy people are mostly not successful in life. So hard work pays. Hard work really pays, because if you are not working hard, you're not going to get anything. Even if your workplace, you're not getting the normal money for what you're working for. As long as you're working hard, you definitely get what you want.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. Many residents of Juba Town are welcoming President Salva Kiir's decision to revert the country's 32 states back to the previous 10 states plus 3 administrative areas. Some residents say the decision is long overdue, but it gives hope that peace and stability are returning to the country. Wake Simon Wudu reports for VOA from Juba.
President Kiir met the offer of 10 states plus 3 administrative areas on Saturday. The same day, Kiir sacked all 32 governors, including all constitutional post holders, and empowered secretary generals of the states to act as administrators pending the formation of a unity government. Kiir says it is time to refocus energy on forming the unity government,
so that the peace agreement that we are going to implement reunites our people once again and gives us the opportunity to collectively embark on the nation building.
Juba resident Juma Peter says the president's offer to reduce the number of states is long overdue.
If you look at the IBC reports and the voices of people on the street or everywhere, you find that everyone is talking about the 10 states. People see like, okay, creation of 32 states costs more division and it damage more our social fabrics. You find that people have already names like, I am from this, I am from that one.
Peter says it is now up to SPLM-IO leader Riek Machar to compromise with Kiir in order to form a unity government on time.
Given, you know, the economic recession in the country, there are no resources to fund those states, and you find that some states were under the trees, you find that there were no roads and so on. So when he really announced that one, you see that if you go around the road, you find people celebrating. People already celebrating, singing songs, you know. Some people did not even sleep. They celebrated the whole night as if, you know, peace has already come.
Juba resident Swara Nelson Loboka agrees the president's announcement was long overdue.
We needed it yesterday, not today. That means it should have happened since last year, when people are really in so much demand for peace in South Sudan. And that also sends a very clear signal outside there that the president is standing with the people's demand for peace.
Nelson says political leaders still need to address the challenges caused by reverting to the 10 states from 32.
This budget has to be amalgamated back to the 10 states such that it operates within the 10 states.
Juba resident Elijah Luke says Kiir's decision will restore peace in the country and make the administrative process more economical.
It is to bring and unite the people of South Sudan back, because we are trying several times and we have tried with so many things, but God does not allow us to reach in those stages. But the current decision, the meaning of it is to bring the peace to the South Sudan, durable peace for South Sudan.
Riek Machar released a statement over the weekend welcoming Kiir's decision to compromise on the number of states, but expressed reservations about the creation of Rueng administrative area. According to Machar, Rueng was not part of the 10 states when they were dissolved in 2015. Much of South Sudan's oil is produced in Rueng, which is part of Unity State, according to experts. Mr. Kiir unilaterally created the current 32 states and appointed all of the governors. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
Residents of the former Jonglei State capital, Bor, also want to see their parties accept president's offer to return to 10 states plus 3 administrative areas. Bor town had seen fierce fighting during the conflict in 2013. The residents say they hope various communities in Jonglei living together peacefully. Manyang David Mayer has more for VOA from Bor.
Before being split into four states in late 2015 by President Kiir, Jonglei residents experienced a lot of turmoil during the war. It became polarized along ethnic lines, with the majority of Dinkas siding with the president, while most of the Nuer sided with rebel leader Riek Machar. Bor residents say they would welcome becoming one state again, but some worry about security. 35-year-old Bor resident Nial Abenego says all are welcome in Jonglei State.
For us, we from Bor here, we welcome everybody. We have no problem. We are the custodian of peace in South Sudan. And if they are sure, they will not behave again the way they behaved in 2013, because we were the serious victims of 2013 war. If they don't start again, we have no problem. We welcome everybody and we welcome the decision of the president. If that is the way for peace to come, we are peace hunger and we want peace in South Sudan.
In 2013, Bor town, capital of Jonglei State, was turned into a battlefield between government and opposition forces who fought repeatedly over the control of the town. Amnesty International says 2,500 people were killed, including many women and children. Despite the death and the destructions experienced by many in Bor, 28-year-old resident Rhoda Yar says people of Greater Jonglei remain united and can live together again in peace.
Here in Jonglei State, we are all people of South Sudan, and has a citizen of Jonglei said we're supposed to be together and to be in peace. So if the Jonglei state has been united, so I'm very happy, because being together, that where you can make peace and you just discuss and say together as a brothers in Christ.
Before Kiir announced his proposal to revert the country back to 10 states, many in Bor, especially civil servants, supported keeping 32 states. Civil servant Jacob Kwan Jeremiah says people of Greater Jonglei learned their lesson during the war and will be ready to forgive one another if they become one state again.
Me as a Dinka, I will not be called South Sudan if there is no Nuer, if there is no Anuak, if there is no Kachipo. In this combination, it makes us to be one state, and that's South Sudan. So I'm happy for the joining again.
Many residents of Bor say they await with open arms to welcome back their brothers and sisters of Greater Jonglei. Internally displaced persons living in the Bor Protection of Civilian Site say they too welcome being one people again. Makwat Munkem, chairperson of Bor POC, says the decision gives citizens a chance to reconcile and live together again.
I thank God, because he washed and he cleaned the heart of the leader of South Sudan to bring the South Sudan into a 10 state. We live together because what was happened in Rwanda, and the Rwandese live and they come together to live together. It is what we can adapt. And we South Sudanese in Jonglei State, we can come together and make reconcile and forgive one another.
President Kiir is expected to name a new governor for Jonglei State once the unity government is formed. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayar in Bor.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus. As we now move to Uganda, where more young people are tackling the sport of American football after learning the game from American volunteers in the country. As Alima Athumani reports from Kampala, some schools want to include the game into their sports curriculum, but there is an urgent need for coaches.
Ugandan Stephen Okeng was visiting a friend at an orphanage in 2014 when he noticed American volunteers introducing the children to a game he had only watched on TV. The 27-year-old architect asked if he could also play and quickly became hooked on American football. Okeng started organizing players and in 2015 formed the American Football Federation, Uganda. There are now four teams around the country, each with 23 players.
As the game continues to grow, we have very many institutions and secondary schools that are willing to have the game adopted into the sports curriculum. But we find that our biggest challenge are the coaches. We don't have the resources, the human power to go and help us with the sport.
The teams also lack helmets and pads, forcing them to play flag football instead of the full contact tackle version of the game. Nevertheless, in 2018, Uganda's National Council of Sports recognized the sport's growing popularity with $10,000 to help fund the federation. Council spokesman Ismail Dakaba says American football has shown great potential in schools, especially those teaching English.
The language that you're going to use to teach the sport is very important. It's a sport whose technicalities are entirely in English. A touchdown, quarterback, wide receiver, linebacker, those do not have anywhere in local dialect that you're going to be able to translate them. So it's easier when you introduce them within the school system where people are studying English, because then it's very easy for them to interpret what is happening.
While most players are male, women are also playing. They include the Chambogo University's team captain, Caroline Ajidru. She says it's a challenge to convince Ugandan women that American football is not too rough of a game.
I think girls will join, only that we've not been having that routine training that has kept them away. But some have come, we're like five, others are still coming and I'm still convincing them.
Imran Sumuju, who coaches the Chambogo team, says players have shown great promise in regional competitions.
We are in a flag football, whereby these players need to first understand in the routes they are running, the formations they're installing within the game, whether defense or offense or running back wide receiver. But when you look at the players, the way they catch, they are good, only that they lack some facilities that we use in these techniques.
Uganda's National Council of Sports this year plans to sponsor the team for a training tour of the United States. They want Uganda's players and coaches to learn more from the National Football League, the organization responsible for professional American football. Halima Athmani for VOA News, Kampala.
That is the end of our show for this Monday. We now leave you with the song Samandi Maro by Mede Muzika from what used to be Amadi State. Anana, gelete, beti, unevura maromoro, bendere, Samandi Maro, sidarolia kongere,
Ravuru Mindra kawarita fomaro bemanui Goranja nyuduruk piyo kota boko Uje vusite La kaza peru tui meperuza kundu Azikolo kumana Konga maru mwaba kunidri uyine Kopenye nini kudu konga rupeye Konga maru mwaba kunidri uyine Kopenye nini kudu konga rupeye Aru mabadi yahu manyaku Muinge lini nyaruku wabepeye Iza tuaru mabadi yahu manyaku Muinge lini nyaruku wabepeye Mayana hati
Kwayirupa ambarte
Mwainate opire, mwainate opire
Malikot ratio
Mwainate opire, mwainate opire
We've been listening to Mede Muzika with the song Samandi Maro. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Yeah.
Yamare de Dandun, Tamerka, Omatudi, Diriwabe, Yanina Sibere, Omatudi, Diriwabe, Jibere.